extra weight and want to earn extra money for fitting into your skinny jeans again? Call now.
Call 1-888-981-3881. 1-888-981-3881. Space is limited, so hurry and secure your spot today. 1-888-981-3881. Some conditions apply. 1-888-981-3881.
The effort to ban so-called assault weapons will likely not make it through the Senate. More now from correspondent Jerry Bodlander.
When Democrats bring their gun control bill to the Senate floor, it will not include a provision calling for a ban on assault weapons. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid says the proposal pushed by Senator Dianne Feinstein just doesn't have enough support.
Right now, her amendment, using the most optimistic numbers, has less than 40 votes.
So the measure, which was approved in committee, will instead be offered separately as an amendment. And it's expected to fail in the face of opposition from all Republicans and a handful of Democrats. Jerry Bodlander, Capitol Hill.
The calendar says it's spring, but the forecast says more snow for New England today. As much as 16 inches is predicted in some locations. The National Weather Service says it will be heavy, wet snow. For the latest news and analysis, log on to IRNUSANews.com.
The news is sponsored by the
Hunterdon
Medical Center.
If you drive a pre-owned GM vehicle with OnStar, you've got a powerful connection to help wherever you go, but only if your service is active. So we're giving you a chance to test drive it for 3 months at no cost, contract, or obligation. Just push the blue OnStar button and ask for 3 months on us. If you're lost, stranded, or need help, we'll be there. Offer good on 2006 or newer digitally equipped GM models. Visit OnStar.com for coverage map, details, and system limitations.
An explosion during a training exercise Monday in Nevada has killed at least 7 Marines and wounded several others. More now from National Security correspondent Sagar Magani.
The explosion happened as troops from the 2nd Marine Division were conducting a live fire exercise at the Hawthorne Army Depot.
A mortar round exploded in the mortar tube.
Brigadier General Jim Lukeman is the North Carolina-based division's commander.
We don't know yet what caused this malfunction.
As investigators look for a cause, the military has suspended using the specific lots of the mortars fired in Nevada. Sagar Magani at the Pentagon.
A newly released study shows Asian carp may be reproducing in more places and for longer periods than previously thought. That's a bad sign for natural resource managers looking for ways to stop the invasive fish from reaching more rivers and keep them out of the Great Lakes. Several varieties of Asian carp have infested the Mississippi River and many of its tributaries. Scientists say they may be outcompeting native species for food. A Purdue University study released Tuesday says the aggressive fish are spawning in waters that had been considered too narrow or with currents too slow for their offspring to survive. Scientist Ruben Goforth says it's uncertain whether eggs laid in those outlying areas will survive to adulthood, but he says findings illustrate the carp's ability to adapt. With IRN, USA Radio News, I'm Mark Thomas.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Time for Hunter Chamber Radio weather. Right now in Flemington, 36 degrees, sunny skies. Happy spring, folks. It changed to spring at 7.02 a.m. this morning. And so for that present, we get sun and clouds mixed today with a high of 44, winds west at 10 to 20 miles per hour. But then it looks like winter might show up just for a tad this evening. Intermittent flurries and snow showers, especially early, low 28. Winds northwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of snow is 30%. Tomorrow, the 21st, mostly cloudy skies. High 39. Winds northwest 10 to 15 miles per hour. 5-day forecast. Friday, the 22nd, partly cloudy with a high of 42. Saturday, the 23rd, partly cloudy, 46. Partly cloudy on Sunday, high 49. And rain and snow showers with a high of 43 on Monday, the 25th. That is Good Morning Hunterdon. on In Chamber Radio Weather. Oh, welcome back to Good Morning Hunting and Hunting Chamber, Radio.com, Pure Energy. I got Mr. Sustainable here in the booth with me, and we're going to talk all about, I guess, being green, being self-sustainable, and it's going to be an interesting talk because man has a number of different hobbies and vocations, so we're going to learn all about our guest in just a moment, just a kind of introduction to the whole situation. You might recall that I was talking about Mr. Sustainable in his article that was written about him as he built a home in Amwell that is completely off the grid. And a lot of different functions and choices that were made into that home. And that has kind of built his own little vocation and hobby kind of combined. He's got his own blog out there. He's doing some talks regard to solar energy and green choices. So we're going to bring him on in now and learn from the master, Mr. Sustainable. Welcome, Dante.
Thanks so much. It's great to be with you.
My pleasure. So why don't you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about the facets of who you are.
Well, let's see. The facets of who I am. I guess I've always been interested in the environment and sustainability, renewable energy. I've also always been interested in the law as a great way to get things done, you know, from policy to bringing court cases when it's important. It's really a great way to make things happen and make good things happen in the world, and that's how I've tried to bring my interest in the law and in sustainability together.
Well, that's an interesting perspective, and I'm looking forward to seeing how those two, because a lot of people don't look at law, although when you look at law from its basis, I understand where you're coming from, but a lot of people outside of the law and the whole system look at it as inefficient. So it'll be interesting to see how those two are commingling to get us moving from our dependability on fossil fuels and moving towards more green energy. And protecting our environment, which you are a environmental attorney, is that right?
I am. I have a general practice, so I dabble in all the specialties. But right now, my focus has been mostly on energy law, and in particular, renewable energy, since it's such an exciting thing for the country and for everyone who lives in the United States and for our time.
So which one came first, your love for energy or your love for law?
That's a great question. hard to say. I think that you know, people are who they are and they have their interests. And, and for me, I've always had a lot of different interests. And I guess some of the unifying factors, though, have included things like you know, care for the environment and the world we live in. I can remember back in sixth grade when we had to do a project, my neighbor, you know, built a volcano that worked, you know, out of paper mache and put, you know, vinegar and baking soda in it, and it erupted all over the desk. But I was much more interested in taking the mirrors in my dad's garage and putting them all together and making a solar concentrator so that I could heat up water and make it work. And, you know, that's back when I was a kid. So, you know, and I do think people, you know, you have interests when you're younger, and I think that really reflects something about who you are and what you're interested in. And one of the great things is that I've been able to take that interest and build it into a whole life and approach the world that way, because then it's very fulfilling.
Excellent. Love it. All right. So you got involved in this cause and this knowledge of trying to come up with sustainable energy. It's interesting. I don't at that particular point, and I don't want to date you. We were kind of feeling that fossil fuels were going on pretty indefinitely. I remember a couple talks about the possibility of fossil fuels we'd run out at around year 2000, which obviously we missed wildly. But we weren't really as focused on sustainable energy then as we are now. So where did you get all that interest? Where did you get all the education that you needed to start being part of your environmental attorney your environmental practice, and to start coming up with this environmental mission?
Well, let's see. So a couple interesting subjects you mentioned in there. You know, in terms of fossil fuels, you know, I guess part of my formative years back when I was talking was a time when there was an energy crisis, you know, OPEC.
Yeah, 72 and what, 78, right?
Exactly.
Yep.
And, you know, in the early 70s, so not only, you know, was I interested in this subject myself, but the world, you know, had this pressing issue of what do we do about making a choice of how we get our energy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was clear at that time that fossil fuels were not going to last forever. You know, there have been claims that, you know, fossil fuels will last to a certain date and then
yep.
no further. But I think the reality is, you know, you can keep finding more fossil fuels, but it gets more and more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
You have to dig deeper. You have to find new techniques. It's much more costly. It can be more costly to dispose of the waste that you get from it. And so we're seeing a little bit of that now where they're able to get a little more out, but it is going to be more and more costly. And, you know, we have the power of the sun that has always been there in our mortal lifespan.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be there for millions more years. And, you know, the amount of energy that comes down to the earth in a day, I forget the exact figure, but it's enough to provide all of the energy that we need,
right.
You know, for the world, for the year. So, you know, being able to capture that in some of the techniques that I use in my sustainable home or for heating, to capture that energy for electricity is really a wonderful thing because it's ultimately, you know, renewable because it comes to us without us having to do anything.
Yep.
It protects us from dependence on foreign oil and fossil fuels. It doesn't have all of the health problems that come with burning fuels and water pollution that comes from getting some of our fossil fuels out of the ground. So it's got wonderful attributes. And on top of that, it's really helping our economy. In a time when our economy has needed help, you know, we've added thousands of jobs here in New Jersey, where I do a lot of my work, and that's just a terrific thing. So you can have all of these things together, but to get there, you need a little bit of know-how and some dedication, and that's really what I'm trying to focus now on, getting the word out and showing folks that the technology is here, it's doable, it's affordable. And, you know, in terms of my home, come take a look. It looks nice. It's great to live in. And you can do it, too. So.
Yep. And that's what we want to get to a little bit later in the show. Your talk about the more expensive the sacrifices, the expense of trying to get fossil fuels seems to be coming from some experience. So are there any cases that you've been involved in that you'd like to highlight as part of your environmental practice?
Well, the types of things I've been talking about in terms of energy costs and availability of renewable sources as a better option,
mm-hmm.
That really is kind of self-taught that I've taught myself, you know, after law school as part of the work that I've done.
Right.
The environmental cases that I had prior to that time, I was for many years at the New Jersey Attorney General's office, and I had the privilege of prosecuting environmental cases. And so, you know, I had a number of multi-million-dollar verdicts that the state got for illegal tire dumps, for example,
mm-hmm.
Getting an award and cleaning up those dumps where tires had been amassed, and it was providing a nuisance and a problem for the community, making sure that illegal solid waste facilities would not operate and cause pollution or problems for the community.
Mm-hmm.
I had a case where some folks had filled in a portion of the bay down in the Atlantic City area and taken that benefit away from the residents there in the state.
Right.
You know, there are a number of things that I've done on the environmental side to improve our quality of life for folks in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of not the energy side as much. The energy side, you know, like my dad always taught me, you know, you go to school not to learn, but to learn how to think.
Right.
And it's a great lesson because you teach yourself for most of your lifetime. And so once I had a background in environmental law, once I'd been at the Attorney General's office and at the DEP and done some other things with the Highlands Council in terms of protecting the groundwater of the state. I then moved into more of the energy side and have really enjoyed that.
Excellent. Okay, so most of it was on the disposal side and the after the fact. What I don't just a casual opinion. I don't need you to. I don't want you to make us a bold statement. But given the fact that we are now talking a lot about fracking, and we saw the BP problem down in the Gulf, is this China change? Is this changing our perspective? Are we ripe now as a society to start looking in your direction at looking for sustainable energy that's more not affecting our planet as much?
Yeah, I'm happy to be bold and to boldly say yes. It really is a great time and an exciting time for renewable energy and for the country. And you've mentioned some of the factors. Coal power plants are getting older. They're costly. They're going to be more costly to maintain or to retrofit to meet our current environmental standards. Nuclear is very expensive and very hard to permit and build. It takes 15 to 18 years just to get a plant online, mm-hmm. and then you have trouble disposing of the waste. That's a very significant factor. Also, a factor in the move towards solar, for example, is that the cost of solar has gone down so much.
Right.
Now that we've gotten a worldwide demand for solar, and there's been so much building in this country, in Germany, in Spain, in the Orient, the result has been that many more businesses have developed plants for silicon, have developed facilities to make solar panels, and as we all know from our basic economic studies, when you have more goods out there, the price drops, and there have been tremendous price drops recently.
Yeah.
And what that means is it's much more affordable. The the cost of solar already is cheaper than the cost of getting electricity from nuclear. It's very close to – it's come down, so it's very close to getting to the cost of fossil fuel. It's already cheaper on the peak side, so that in the summer when you have the very costly power, when people are running air conditioners and using a lot of energy, solar is already more cost-effective, and it's going to be just as effective in cost for the other times of day. So you have the environmental encouragement. You have the economic encouragement. And then you got the feel-good encouragement.
Mm-hmm.
You can't believe how many people come up to me and say, wow, it's so exciting, the kind of work that you're doing. It's so exciting to live in a house like that. How can I do it? And same thing with businesses. Businesses are reaping the rewards here in New Jersey and starting around the country of having their own production facility, electric production facility on the roof that they pay off in a couple of years, and that system lasts 30 years. Mm-hmm. So their accountants and lawyers love it too.
Right.
So all of those factors are coming together. And so I saw some movement, as we talked about during the OPEC shortage days, but it's even stronger now. And now that we have jobs that are dedicated to this, and we have manufacturing and then labor, electricians, architects, engineers, lawyers, accountants, all these folks are now involved in the solar industry. So it's really too big to fail, to borrow an expression from another.
In a positive way.
Yeah, but in a positive way.
That's good.
So it's
like
a great
that.
Thing.
So, all right. I remember the OPEC days. I remember us talking about solar, all that. There's still this belief or this perspective that the oil companies have their hands in the government in a lobbying perspective that is keeping down the wind, the solar environment. But it looks like we've had some cataclysmic coincidences, that's the only way I can put it, where our society has decided to change its perspective, its vision. And we are now starting to shift, and is that actually taking away the grip of these of the oil companies that's making this available? And is the solar programs being still propped up by the government that's bringing it to our conscious, or is it really just there for us to take advantage of now? A lot of stuff in there. I'm sorry, but I see them all coming together. And
Well, you're right that change is difficult, and that's true in the sense that it's people can be concerned about change. That's gone by the wayside. People aren't as concerned now about moving toward renewable energy. We've seen the trend, so that's not an issue. Big money and lobbyists can get in the way because each person in a process has their own interest.
Right.
But I think it's people power. I think there is a groundswell of interest, and I think that is has the ability to change large structures in society. And I think that's what's happening. I note when I drive around how many, to use one example, people driving Priuses out there.
You know,
Toyota's got a very successful product that is becoming mainstream.
Right.
5 years ago, friends of mine, professional friends, had BMWs and fancy luxury cars. But one of my good friends told me he sold his BMW 5 Series, and he's happily driving a Prius. And he says, not only am I happy with the workmanship and the quality of what I get, but I get twice the gas mileage. So, and he's not a particularly green person overall, but he's someone who likes the notion,
right.
But fundamentally did it because it just made sense. And that's the kind of mainstreaming that makes things happen. Before we had cell phones, there were giant bricks that we carried around. And,
yes.
And to make a call. And it was when someone saw that they could use a smaller device, it was more easy, more functionality, and it just took over.
Right.
No amount of lobbying, no amount of vested interest or wedding to the status quo could stop it. And I really sense a similar kind of trend that's happening with renewable energy right now. I think it's here to stay. And the more we can educate folks about, what it means, what it would cost, and how they can do it, I think it'll only, continue. It'll only crescendo.
Gotcha. Was there a tipping point? Was there one event that you could put your finger on that said, that made people say, I got to start considering this?
I don't know if there was one. I do think in the last maybe 2 years, 3 years, I think the mainstreaming has made the difference because, people may have wanted to get those old EV cars back from the 80s that had 300-mile round range on them
right.
that all got crushed
right.
and are no longer available.
Right.
People wanted those, but they had no access.
Uh-huh.
But when you had, Toyota and Honda starting up with their hybrid cars, all of a sudden it's available.
Mm-hmm.
And once it became available, people could follow that whimsy. They could learn more and actually do it, and that's been the case in the consumer market. And we talked about the factors that have led to more availability and cheaper prices on high quality solar modules.
Right.
Same thing. So we're a very technological society, and so I think if we can get the technology out there for people to use, the consumer side of our culture will then vote. My economic professor used to say, vote with your feet or
right.
vote with your dollars.
Vote with your dollars.
And when you're voting with those dollars, I think you then are into the type of approach that people really accept because people are able to make money. They're able to have livelihoods. They're able to pursue it. And that's what we've seen. So I guess the tipping point would have to be the availability, meaning the technology is there and the price is there. And it's really suitable. It fits people. It's not like they have to do without to drive a hybrid car. Frankly, every car could be hybrid now.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody could get better gas mileage because the technology is there, and it's really not overly expensive to add to. It's a small marginal cost, and you
right.
get a great benefit.
Excellent. All right, so we're going to get down to the details and learn from the maverick, the man who put together a complete house that's off the grid. Going to do the news of the weather. We'll be right back with more of Mr. Sustainable in just a few minutes. You're listening to Good Morning Huntington, huntingtonchamberradio.com.
By
KRN, USA Radio News. I'm Mark Thomas. President Barack Obama has arrived in Israel, his first trip to the nation as president. Israelis are anxious to hear Obama affirm America's commitment to the security of the Jewish state, despite his sparring with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu over the Palestinian peace process. Obama is also making trips to the Palestinian Authority and Jordan. A new survey says many Americans earning $35,000 a year or less view their jobs as a dead end. An Associated Press NORC Center for Public Affairs Research survey polled lower-wage workers and employers. 67% of the workers said they see little or no opportunity at their jobs for advancement. And 44% of employers surveyed said it's hard to recruit people with appropriate skills or experiences to do lower-wage jobs. The Fed wraps up its two-day policy meeting today and is expected to keep borrowing costs at record lows. This is IRN, USA News.
Have you ever thought of...
...9:30, time for Hunter and Chamber Radio weather. 37 degrees right now, and it's sunny out there. Mr. Sustainable is getting plenty of energy at his house right now. For today, the 20th, partly cloudy... today with some wind, so we'll find out what's going on there. Winds up to 20 to 30 miles per hour, high of 44. This evening, though, a little weird. Snow showers tapering to some flurries overnight, a low of 28. Winds northwest, 5 to 10 miles per hour, chance of snow, 30%. And tomorrow, mainly cloudy with a high of 39, winds northwest to 10 to 15 miles per hour. 5-day forecast, Friday the 22nd, partly cloudy with a high of 42. Saturday, partly cloudy, 46. Sunday the 24th, partly cloudy with a high of 49. Rain and snow showers with a high of 43 for Monday the 25th. That is Good Morning Hunterdon, Hunterdon Chamber Radio weather. All right, we are back with Mr. Sustainable, and had a great conversation about the background, about how this all got started, but now we want to get down to the nuts and bolts of the whole thing. As I told you in my introduction, this gentleman built an entire house that is off the grid, and just a few seconds ago we were talking off air, that he kind of feels that he broke through and kind of set the stage for everybody else. He did all the work. So now he's got all the knowledge to get you the information that you need to make your house either partially or, I guess, in complete whole sustainable. So let's find out a little bit more about the house. So, Dante, when did you come up with the decision to actually build this?
Well, I'd been thinking about it for a long time. I had always wanted to build sustainably, and you know, I'd lived in an old Cape Cod, which was nice and, you know, a great little house, but it wasn't oriented in the right direction. The windows didn't face in a way to catch the sun. The insulation was, frankly, inadequate by modern standards. It was an old 1940s home. And so while it was lovely and the neighborhood was lovely, I always thought that when I had a chance to do something for myself, I wanted to do it in a way that was just going to be laid out right and mm-hmm. use some of these great principles.
Okay. And I guess at some point, either cognitively or subconsciously, you realized that all the options were there for you. I mean, it's one thing to have the dream, right? It's another thing to know that there's stuff there that's available to actually make it happen. So right. how did you come to that epiphany?
So, it was something to bite the bullet and say, you know, there's no blueprint. You know, I can't go to a builder and say, you know, give me Model X.
Right.
But I thought that if I pieced together some of these principles and, you know, taught myself on the fly in a way that would make my parents proud about teaching myself, I could do it. Mm-hmm. And so that's really how I started. And it was kind of a bold notion because, as I could only appreciate once I started, that, you know, every decision piece in the house had an extra layer of research, mm-hmm. A lot of research, costing, functionality, and then building. And so, you know, a simple decision, for example, to to put a well in, which is common, you know, in this part of the state. You know, I had to find out, you know, do they have a DC-powered well pump? Right. If they did, what was a good manufacturer? What kind of capacity did I need? You know, what would the cost be? How would I make sure that I could integrate it in with the rest of the system? And really every step of the process had this, which made for a long-term process. But as you were alluding to, and we talked about, you know, off air, one of the real benefits was if I could go through this process and I was confident that I could figure this stuff out as I did it, I could then make it a lot easier for others. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, we could maybe amend some of our building codes so that it would be easier to put in these kinds of systems so you wouldn't have problems with the inspectors because they would, could look at it and approve it when it came, so that, you know, builders could incorporate this into their model, so that there would be a sustainable model. And in fact, I'm in talks with some folks right now about how to integrate these concepts into a housing development that's already planned here in New Jersey, but, you know, really would benefit by offering new house owners the opportunity when they sign up to have these incorporated into their home. So getting that to happen would be a great result.
That's a new hurdle. That's a cool hurdle because that kind of tells you it's mainstream. That's the part
that's
you
the
were talking about.
Again. Right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, once it's like anything, if people may want, and I think people really have told me they really do want a lot of these things. Mm-hmm. But how do they get there? So part of what I'm doing is helping to advise them on the technical things and show them, but to say, look, here's what it is, A, B, C. Here's where you can get it. Here's what it costs. They can do a cost-benefit analysis. And I really think once they can do that, it's doable, and they will be doing it.
Right.
And that increases our snowball. We get bigger and bigger.
Well, the two things that I come across whenever I'm trying to get onto a whatever passion that I'm trying to resolve at that particular moment, and I happen to be on a couple right now, is financially and all the challenges and pitfalls and obstacles that are thrown in your way. You said, I think, off air, it took you over 6 years to do. Is that the planning or the entire build of the house?
That was since I got the building permit to start.
Okay.
Right? So that's a lot of time. Right. So, you know, I can get some conventional guys to come in and help me put up the timbers and do the framing.
Right.
But then I have to, you know, counsel the electrician on how to run two different electrical systems in the house, one for AC and one for DC. You know, where to have them, what kind of plugs to use so that they're differentiated. Mm-hmm. You know, I did a lot of work myself, and I also then had to supervise the trades to make sure that, you know, they knew how it worked for this particular application. Mm-hmm. It took a long time, and the R&D during the project, you know, increased the time as well. But the result was that I have a house that I really like. I mean, the benefits are it pretty much heats itself. Mm-hmm. It provides all the electricity, and it's got great windows in the whole south side of the house. So the sun comes in, it's light and airy feeling, and like every well-designed house, in my opinion, you know, the sun comes in, the nature comes in, it feels great.
Right.
You get the feng shui, if I'm saying that right.
Yep.
And so it's sustainable, and it's really livable.
Right. So let's talk about some of the choices that you did make and some of the ones that people could consider if they are doing some type of remodeling project. So what were some of the big choices that were the, I guess we call it low-hanging fruit? What could somebody do today that's incorporated in your home?
Well, some of the principles that I use and are easily usable by others are, you know, nice efficient windows.
Mm-hmm.
Big windows in the south side that lets all the sun in. I have triple panes there. I have I picked out windows that are foam filled fiberglass frames so that the heat doesn't even dissipate through the frames like you'd have with a metal frame or even a wood frame. So they're very efficient. They let that sun in and they keep the heat inside. That sun shines on a black tile floor.
Mm-hmm.
Which soaks in all the sun. You know, it's just like you have anything black in the sunlight, you know, you really feel how it gets hot from that
right.
sunlight. It absorbs it all. And then because there's a lot of thermal mass there with that ceramic tile, it heats up all day and it holds it and slowly releases it during the night. So I've kept the house from getting too hot during the day when the sun's coming in. And then all night when there's no sun coming in, that tile is dissipating the heat back into the room, which evens it out, but most importantly, gives you heat you know, 24/7.
24/7.
So the primary thing is, you know, if you're able to orient your windows to the south, bring in that solar gain and store it, you're already well on your way to have cut out all of the heat that you'd have to produce. So, you know, you don't need a fuel source because your house is heating itself for most of the time.
Right. What about the seasons? Somebody would say, without doing a lot of research at this moment, that's fine. It works in the summer. What about the winter? I don't have as much. I don't have as much time with the sun. I don't have.
Right.
You know, it's cooler. You know, so how does that work for winter versus summer?
Right. So first of all, this type of passive solar heating, it's called, works not only in the summer, but it works for spring and fall as well. Mm-hmm. So right away, we've got three quarters of the year covered.
Right.
So that's the good news. In the wintertime, you know, the way the overhangs in the house work is that while they cut off the hot, high summer sun from coming in the windows, the lower winter sun is able to pass through the windows, and it goes all the way in to heat the entire floor space of the house. So we've maximized the gain that we do get during the winter. So that's one. The other thing is I've super insulated the house. So all the heat that does come in the wintertime, I'm holding it. You know, a typical R value in a house may be, R11 for a 2x4 framed house. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got about four times that R value in my walls with my 2x6s. For the stud wall and blown-in foam insulation.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing in the ceilings. You know, I've got four times the R value in the ceiling so that whatever I'm bringing in, I'm holding. So, again, I've used all of that free power from the sun to do most of the heating. So now we're down to, January, February when it's cold.
Right.
Well, so then I've got a backup system. I've got a propane-based radiant floor system that I can turn on to add some heat to the tile floor.
Gotcha.
And it's already somewhat heated from the sun, but I can bring it up. And, you know, interestingly, you know, in my data from having lived in the house a bit now, a cold February day when it's 20 degrees outside, if I get full sun, that house heats up to 65, maybe 70 degrees,
mm-hmm.
just from the sun. So I get a good portion of the day covered. So then I'm just adding some auxiliary power for the night. So you can see by that illustration the great savings just in conserving the power that I'd otherwise have to use,
right.
By that kind of technique.
Excellent. Now, not everybody has the ability to make the changes to their house. It's already built. So what are other options that are available to them for a house that's already built and they want to make some changes?
Right. So one thing, of course, is insulation. Insulation is easy to augment or change. You can even cut little holes the size of a tennis ball in the wall and blow in foam insulation,
mm-hmm.
you know, in an older house. Let's say that Cape Cod that I was talking about before, you know, I'm not even sure it has a lot of insulation in there. But whatever it has, you know, you can pull that out or displace it by blowing in foam, which will fully seal the entire wall cavity and give you much better insulation. Same thing in the ceilings. In an older home, they may have done limited insulation or no insulation at all up in an attic area. It's very easy to and very inexpensive over a time horizon to put in better insulation. Mm-hmm. Same thing with windows. You know, old drafty single pane windows in a common house can easily be replaced, and there are lots of good window manufacturers that can put in replacement windows.
Mm-hmm.
Those two things right there are big savings. Another one readily available, as low hanging fruit, is sealing around all the windows and around the doors. And for these kinds of programs, there are even some incentives that are provided through the state of New Jersey and the Clean Energy Fund, where monies will help you with getting an energy audit and also in paying for some of the materials that will do that. So even starting with those things are really helpful. Then, you know, if it comes time for your furnace to get replaced, a high-efficiency furnace is a good idea,
mm-hmm.
a big savings. Same thing with a hot water heater. Same thing with your refrigerator, you know, an Energy Star appliance and other appliances in your home. An LED television, you know, uses much less electricity than the old cathode ray tubes. So, you know, there's a whole checklist of things that people can do. So it's really very doable for people with any kind of home.
Right.
You know, your current home, if you're going to do an addition, easy to do, use the techniques. And, of course, if you're building new or getting something from a builder, easy to ask for or design or get help designing.
Mm-hmm. Now, it sounds like there's a little bit of financial thought that has to go into this, because it's not exactly a plunk down the money and you get the savings. You have to realize that there is the grants or the programs that are available to you. You have to do the costing over time, and it's also affected by how much you're paying for energy right now versus how much you're paying either in the future.
Yes.
So where do we get all that information? Where can I how can I put together that little dollar cost averaging and that cost benefit analysis?
So that's the kind of thing that I help people with, actually, is you know, I can show them what that kind of calculation looks like and direct them to some sources for figuring it out. You're quite right that there are government incentives. You know, the federal government has incentives for energy efficient products and both solar electric and hot water systems plus energy efficiency. So the federal government has incentives. That's very effective. Like I said, the state government has incentives. That's effective. So the overall, the kind of calculus really is you get good materials, you get a reputable installer, you do a calculation for the kind of refunds and incentives you're going to get that decrease the cost.
Yep.
Then what you're left with, maybe a couple $1,000s. But typically that will be something that you pay off over, you know, 2 years, 3 years, or depending on, you know, whether it's a major solar system, maybe now 5 years or 6 years. But, you know, those are systems that will be working and you'll be getting benefits from for much longer time horizon. You know, the insulation you put in, you know, will last, you know, 50 or 100 years in your house. Mm-hmm. And even if you sell it, you can get a greater value out of it because of those enhancements. With a solar system, let's say you pay it off in 5 or 6 years, your system's going to be generating free electricity for 30 years.
Right.
So they all pay for themselves. And so I encourage folks, you know, just like with all purchases that we make in life, if you take a look at what the cost is over time and if it's something that's going to have a savings for you, you know, go through that kind of analysis.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more of Mr. Sustainable in just a moment. You're listening to Good Morning Hunterdon. HuntingChamberRadio.com. Pure energy.
Pure energy. The 1,200,000 women and men of Rotary have accomplished extraordinary things. They have helped people grow food in communities around the world. They've taught millions of people to read. They've brought clean water to villages, worked toward world peace, and have nearly eradicated a crippling childhood disease from the face of the planet. But here's the thing. Each of those 1,200,000 women and men know they could accomplish so much more if only they were 1,200,000 and one. Find out what an impact one person can make. Learn about Rotary membership at Rotary.org. Rotary, humanity in motion.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntertonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
All right. About 10 more minutes with the Mr. Sustainable here, and we were talking about all the little changes, well, actually big changes that he made in his house, plus the ones that were available to you. There are a lot of simple choices, simple decisions that you can make to save money. One of the things, Dante, that I keep hearing about, and I keep getting it in the mail nowadays, is the ability to put in solar panels on my home. It's a neat marketing tactic, very similar to how you buy your cell phone on a plan for a couple of years. They take a satellite picture of your home through Google. They tell you where they're going to put their satellite the solar panels on your roof, and then they ask you to hand in your electric bill and your heating bill, and they try and dollar cost average it for you, give you a cost benefit analysis, and even claim that at some point you might actually generate more power that can go over to the power grid for other people to use. How much of that is marketing? How much of that is reality? Are we somewhere in between?
Yeah, I'd say probably somewhere in between. It is a very good approach. It's definitely worth investigating. So the notion here first is that you don't have to always plunk down the money and purchase a system directly. You know, that was the first model that came out. So, you know, I might upfront $10,000 and get a system, and it would last a long time, and I'd pay for it. But I would have to put down that money. The next approach was to get some grant help from the state to help you with that early capital cost. But the model after that, which provides an interesting opportunity for consumers and customers, is that you don't have to own the system at all. You basically get it for free. So what you do is you lease that, your rooftop, for example, whether you're a business or a residence, to a third party, and that company puts a solar system on there. And so what you get out of that is you get the satisfaction of knowing the green power is coming from that system, but you do get a reduction in your electricity bill.
Right.
So it's definitely worth investigating. The reason I say it's in the middle is there are so many different incentives and factors involved in that calculation that, you know, my attorney side has me helping folks to, you know, do an analysis of that to make sure that the deal you're getting really is one that's fair to you as well as the third party, because you have to make sure, you know, who's getting the solar credits that come from the production.
Right.
You know, you may not realize that those are coming you know, whether you get it or the other party gets it, that has economic value.
Yeah, you could get swayed by just the savings and not realize that you're not getting all the savings you're due. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Is there a chance that jumping in right now on that type of thing is too early? And I only say that because, you know, still the panels are very big. Leasing them, is it possible that they're going to shrink over the next couple of years and I could get a smaller system and not be as intrusive?
I think technology will continue to get better. It has gotten a lot better, and it will continue to. I don't think, you know, overall that it's going to change enough to make someone want to avoid doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like the old adage, you know, if you really want something and it makes sense, do it now. Yeah, so I would encourage folks to take a look at it now. You know, even though the value of SRECs, you know, the solar credits that you get and can sell from a system have gone down, it's still economically beneficial to do. And, you know, if you're a business, you get additional benefits from the federal tax credit and other techniques. So it's definitely still worth doing.
All right. There you go. So check it out and give this man a call, and he might be able to help you work through all the little details. Well, we have another coincidence, cataclysmic event, whatever you like to call it, and that was Hurricane Sandy. And I saw on the blogs that you were writing that you saw this as a perfect opportunity to really bring mainstream green energy, sustainable energy to New Jersey. So I wanted you to give an opportunity, give you a time to talk about that, and also how you are getting your message out to other folks. It may be Hurricane Sandy or just in the public in general.
So the reason why Sandy presents a good opportunity for us to rebuild properly is that you know, a lot of the techniques that we've talked about are things you want to do when you build.
Right.
Well, there's an opportunity now from this great tragedy, because building's going to be happening, to do it in a way that's going to help folks for the next 30 years. So, you know, when it happens now, it would be great if people would be able to, you know, incorporate some solar onto the way they orient their house. You know, with the if they can make it face south, that's the best. If they can have the roofs angle in a way which capture that solar gain, that's great. You know, if they have the windows that can do that, if they choose windows that are good, if they use all of those sustainable materials and techniques we talked about, this is really the time to do it because you're rebuilding anyway.
Mm-hmm.
In addition, you know, where a whole town has had a significant loss, of structures, it's also a great time to use some land use planning to build that neighborhood back in a way that's very livable. Having community space, protecting the critical water and other resources when you do it isn't always possible, because a lot of our state got developed back in the early 1900s when there was no zoning at all.
Right.
And even if there was, you know, early zoning for most of the last century, you know, it was pretty much willy-nilly. So the community can come together, decide what resources they want to use best and maximize that. And, you know, maybe they can even have an electric jitney taking folks around, you know, from the main part of town to, you know, over to the shore and back, and, you know, park and ride. There, you know, now is the time to plan. And so so this is really a great time to do that. Also take advantage of some of the relief funds that are coming from the federal government. These can be used to rebuild in a way that's really sustainable. Mm-hmm. And that would be a great outcome. In fact, I'm talking on at a town hall on Sunday that's geared specifically to rebuilding after Sandy. And I think there is a lot of interest in folks on figuring out how they can do this in a sustainable way.
Excellent. All right. Let's get information out to the people who are listening about your speaking engagement, and also where they can get in touch with you after that.
So I'll have a notice of that event, and also I'll be speaking at the Sustainable Lawrence event on Saturday this weekend. Mm-hmm. That information, plus some of the techniques and blogs, all available on my website, which is MrSustainable.com. That's spelled MR-Sustainable.com. And that's a great source. You can reach me that way. You can send me a question if you have it. You can check and see what sustainability topics are on the blog or what events are coming up.
Excellent. And he is attainable. Actually, that's the way I got in touch with him. So he is reachable that way. My pleasure to have you on. It's been a great topic, and I can't believe we're already out of time. We could do this for another 2 or 3 hours, I think. So I'd love to have you on again in some capacity to talk more about options and things that are going on in your sustainable passion.
It would be my pleasure, and thanks for having me.
Thank you very much. Okay, that is a wrap for me. Pleasure to have you on, and pleasure to have Mr. Sustainable here, along with Steve Kaufman of Traveler's Choice and Michelle Heide of Patton Heide & Associates. Well, we're going to make way for the Prez and the G-Man. Tune in, Hunter, and on at 10 o'clock. Before I go, though, Vincent Arnolino says, never say I should have. If you're at that point where you're starting to find out that energy and energy costs are driving you crazy, Mr.-Sustainable.com is the guy you got to talk to. He'll be able to talk with you and get you pointed in the right direction. He's done all the homework. All you have to do is ask. Been my pleasure to be with you. I'll be back again tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. You've been listening to Good Morning Hunter and HuntingChamberRadio.com. Big C signing off. Coming to you from HuntingChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good Morning Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HuntingChamberRadio.com.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
You've got a friend.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HunterdonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
IRN USA Radio News. I'm Mark Thomas. Authorities in Colorado are looking for a suspect in the murder of the Department of Corrections director. A sheriff spokesman says Tom Clements was shot to death Tuesday night when he answered his front door in Monument. The U.S. military and the Afghan government have reached a deal on a gradual pullout of American special forces and their Afghan counterparts from the contentious Wardak province in the east. Afghan President Hamid Karzai has blamed the troops for egregious human rights abuses in Wardak province, allegations which U.S. military officials have steadfastly denied. America's lower-income workers have posted the biggest job gains since the deep 2007...
You're listening to HunterdonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Ameriprise Financial has been working hard for their clients' futures, never taking a bailout, helping generations achieve dreams, buy homes, put their kids through college, retire how they want to. Today, Pat and Heidi and Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. They are ready to help you feel more confident about your financial future. Put the strength of a global financial leader to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Pat and Heidi and Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you achieve your dreams and goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. That's 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Ameriprise Financial Services, Incorporated. Member FINRA and SIPC.
Good afternoon. Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Larry McEntee, and this is Home Again with Jeannie and Larry, broadcasting from the Hunterdon County radio station here in Flemington, New Jersey. Again, this is Larry McEntee from Home Team. Home Team Inspection is a full-service inspection company that provides inspections for buyers and sellers in the real estate market. If you're looking to sell your house or you're going to buy one and you need an inspection, call us at 973-547-7748. Or you can always email us at lmcentee@hometeam.com. That's L-M-C-E-N-T-E-E @hometeam.com. We do inspection. Home Team does a different approach. We come in a team approach, and we get in and out, and we tell the story of your house, and we protect your investment. Nothing like knowledge will power when you're buying a house. You want to know the ins and outs, and you want to make an unemotional decision. And that's what we do. We do the inspection. And if you're selling your house and you want to know what's wrong or what things you can address before you put it on the market, give us a call. We'll do a seller's inspection. Today, we start the show a little bit every week. I have a guest on. Danny Haynes is coming from Weichert. She's not here yet. I know she's coming, but she may be delayed a little bit. But Today we talk a little bit before we go to commercial about, I always talk a little bit about myself so you guys know it, but I have a pet peeve this morning. Have you ever been driving down a road and you know, it's a two-lane road and you're doing about 45 miles an hour and the speed limit's 45, 50, and the person in front of you goes to make a right or a left and they almost come to a complete stop? It drives me crazy that people don't realize that the traffic behind them is traveling at 45 miles an hour, and when they come to a stop to make a right or left with nobody coming, it backs up the traffic and can cause an accident. I also had somebody today making a left who actually moved to the right so nobody could go around them while they waited to make their left. So the traffic backed up 10 or 15 cars behind them, and instead we could all have gone around them at even a slow speed. And I know you're not supposed to pass on the right, but reality is that people go around. And so you just be cautious out there. I mean, I consider myself probably an aggressive but a courteous driver. Be good out there. I mean, let's drive safe and be good. We're going to do the weather in a minute, but first we're going to do a couple commercials, and then we'll be back and we're going to talk.